Let's think about misinformation now. As we were hearing from Scott, Donald Trump was suspended from Twitter, as it was then known, for questioning the legitimacy of the 2020 US presidential election. Mr. Trump had also been accused of disseminating misinformation in a bid to attack his political rivals. But what exactly is misinformation, and why does it matter in the context of this year's ballot? Sander van der Linden is a professor of social psychology at the University of Cambridge, and he's the author of Foolproof: Why We Fall for Misinformation and How to Build Immunity.
There's a lot of talk about misinformation and what it is, and I recently chaired a consensus report for the American Psychological Association where we defined misinformation as information that is either false or misleading. So some information is entirely fabricated, just false. But the more dangerous kind of misinformation is actually more subtle. It will leverage half-truths and bias and manipulation. And that's what we call misleading. And it can use logical fallacies or other dubious content where there's actually a grain of truth. And so you can't say that it's entirely false, but it is otherwise misleading, with the risk of causing misperceptions that later become widespread. And that's what we call misleading. So misinformation is both false and misleading, and it's different from disinformation, which is misinformation that's produced with the intention to actually harm or deceive other people. So disinformation are intentional lies, whereas misinformation could be an accident, but is still otherwise false or misleading.
How do you see this being deployed in the US election that we're seeing play out at the moment?
Yeah, one of the things that we're most concerned about at the moment is election misinformation around the election results. So I think a lot of people are predicting right now that if, let's say, Donald Trump doesn't win the election, he's going to claim that there was widespread fraud, that the election result isn't legitimate. So I think a lot of people are concerned that the types of misinformation that we'll see will revolve around the integrity of the election.
And on that particular note, I suppose that in this era, when we have platforms like social media and AI also being used to create content at a very, very fast rate, that becomes a lot more likely that this kind of thing happens.
Absolutely. And especially when you have the owner of a social media platform, such as Elon Musk, actively pushing great replacement conspiracy theories, which, if people don't know, is a conspiracy theory that suggests that illegal immigrants are being imported to replace the white population, and use that in the context of voting, you know, suggesting that illegals are voting, that the election isn't secure. These claims have been fact-checked as false. I mean, it's extremely rare, but Elon Musk has the reach of, he has the most followers on X, and he's using the platform to boost his own visibility. So we're talking, you know, hundreds of millions of people, and that is really concerning. He also regularly boosts accounts that share AI-generated deepfakes of politicians and other fakery. And so I think that really illustrates the power of not only conspiracy theories and misinformation going viral on social media, but when the owner of a social media platform is actually, you know, pushing it and accelerating it. And that's, you know, really problematic, because then you can't intervene in any sensible way.
You've literally written the book about how people can counter this sort of threat. So what sort of advice can you offer in terms of ways to almost immunize oneself against this sort of political posturing, so that people don't necessarily vote for a candidate because of the wrong reasons?
Yeah, so we've worked a lot on this idea of psychological inoculation, which involves exposing people to a weakened dose of a misleading claim or the techniques used to spread misleading claims, and refute those in advance. You deconstruct the trick for people in advance using a microdose example, so that people can actually build up psychological resistance and even immunity to future exposure to attempts to influence people's vote with misinformation. And for a number of reasons, it's better to try to preemptively protect people than try to debunk things after their brain's been exposed to them, because, you know, falsehoods make friends in your memory and with other things that you know, and they integrate themselves in our mental model, and becomes incredibly tricky to try to get rid of them. So prevention is better than cure. And right now, we're just posting a study where we're inoculating or pre-bunking, if you will, against election misinformation. And so we're looking at claims that have all been circulating but have no basis in fact. And we expose people to a forewarning that they might see misleading claims from politicians about the electoral process. And then we give people examples of how that's been misused in the past. And then we refute those with the facts known to electoral officials to immunize people against this. Because the problem is that people often don't have the right mental defenses. Not everyone knows how elections work, what the facts are, how voting machines work. It's all very technical. So when you prepare people preemptively to know these things, they're going to be less susceptible on election day and right around the election point when they're being targeted with such false information. And we've tested this, and we were able to inoculate about a third of people who otherwise would have fallen for these claims based on a nationally representative sample in the US.
You sort of alluded to this earlier, but there is a real risk, is there not, at this election that this sort of misinformation could tip the balance because it's so close and we probably don't have much time in order to see the effects of pre-bunking type technologies and techniques that you've just been outlining to have an effect?
It is close. I think we should have done some of the work earlier. But I will say that looking at the media, I've seen them do more preemptive reporting this time. I've seen various articles that have tried to pre-bunk common misinformation. I've talked to organizations that have been out there canvassing, trying to empower people. So I think more work has been done than before. The question is whether it's enough. And, you know, most politicians during political debates will say something sometimes that's not accurate. I mean, surely on all sides of the political spectrum, claims are made that need to be fact-checked. But when there is a concerted and overwhelming asymmetry in trying to cast doubt on the legitimacy of the electoral process, when there's really no basis for that, I think that's an overarching kind of concerning trend that should be addressed. And hopefully, regardless of what the election outcome will be a peaceful transfer of power and people will accept the election result. And I think the problem is that if people are misinformed and they have misconceptions, they're less likely to be confident in the election result. And we know from prior research and reality that that can lead to violence and chaos and polarization. And that's what we're hoping to avoid this time.
Indeed. Sander van der Linden there from the University of Cambridge.